grill team salutes all dads with a massager, electric toothbrush, new juicer, all the best Father's Day gifts at Harvey Norman.
Triple M's grill team.
Program is based on speculation and conjecture.
Welcome. This is the Triple M Grill Team Podcast.
Leave a message for the guys at triplem.com.au.
Hey, morning everyone.
Hey,
welcome
Pagey.
Back. How are we today?
G'day, Pagey. I tell you what, Maddie. There's a panther with a spring in his step this morning.
Why wouldn't there be?
I tell you what, we're going to talk about a little bit more in the big sports opinion, but he reckons they can win the whole thing.
Well, I'm daring to dream.
They could defy the odds. I mean, that young Matty Moylan, he's worth his weight in gold, that boy.
Well, that's Howard's form at the moment.
No, amazing.
You had a little bit of an argument with a bloke on Twitter because you reckon his form is better now than when he got picked for Origin.
I think it's career best form. I think it's better when he won the comp. I think because of the fact that, more importantly, that Peter Wallace isn't playing. And he's just gone.
You're right.
He's playing six and seven.
At the Dragons, he was playing a role. Mate, he's running the whole ship there. So, mate, well done, Ivan Cleary. He's just doing a great job. But to more pressing matters, guys.
Oh, what about Fifita?
Wow.
The big fella, Fifita. Was it Andrew Fifita?
Yeah.
Not the brother? We're absolutely sure that it was Andrew Fifita?
Yes.
Caught up in a drama yesterday with a bit of road rage. And
yeah.
I think it started off with someone cutting him off and a kid's toy from the car was thrown.
Well, they said, I don't know if they said a toy. They said a toy.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if that's
I know
a...
that you were speculating on your Monday night show last night on what type of toy it was. Yeah.
It could have been a sex toy.
Well, sex
I mean, some of those ones are quite big.
Yeah, I suppose.
The one you bring in all the time is huge. So I don't know. It could have caused a lot of damage.
You're all fired up about this. I just reckon
when you're a bit of a public profile, you've got a bit of public figure about you, then if someone does cut you off,
Tell me about the 6 hours we had there and back to Threadbow, please.
The flick of the lights. Oh. And come on, buddy. But let it go.
When you're
a bit of a big deal, you just got to let these things go, mate.
When we were driving back from Threadbow, Paige, I was driving, and I'd get cut off. Someone cut you off, who cares?
You are a cool driver.
He was leaning across trying to hit my horn.
It was my car.
Well, I was driving.
That's right. You were driving.
You were hitting, and you were going, mate, get into him. I'm going, brother, just settle down.
I was surprised how calm you were,
Maddie. Even I was in the back seat thinking, this bloke's a lunatic.
You're asleep. You're asleep
you're
with
a
your
crazy
hands
driver.
Down
anyway,
the front
Mr.
of your tracky
decks. Until you find out the whole story about Fifita, just settle down a bit, okay?
Yeah.
There's
been a police statement, so the police have intervened here. But, it's one of those ones that it must have been terrifying.
Have you ever been in a road rage incident?
No, I haven't. No, I've never been involved with one.
When you're a high-profile player, you've got to let things go.
I had a few.
There was one. Well, the thing about it is there was a female in the car and also a young child.
Yeah,
they're alleging.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's terrifying.
Just pull over, give yourself 30 seconds, deep breaths, and let it go, mate.
I had a mate that was involved in a road rage incident in Sydney's West, and the guy was huge, right? Huge fellow. Went and guy cut him off, and then the guy eased up, and the mate started doing all sorts of gestures at him. And my mate just said, "Mate, put the window."
Please.
He said, "Piss off, wake up to yourself." Well, mate, the bloke followed him for 5 kilometres, and then finally, when he got a red light, got out of the car, went and dragged my mate out of the car and beat him to a pulp.
What?
This was like 10, 15 years ago.
Wow.
He was so terrified he soiled his pants.
Oh, I bet he would.
Poor bugger.
Thanks for that. That took it to a place I never thought it would go.
The moment of the week is brought to you by Allianz Insurance. Because life is full of moments. I just want to be
okay today. Yeah, thank you, Allianz. Your R moments from this round of the NRL, boys.
Yes, I'm going to come out and be strong. Hopefully the NRL will do the same thing when it comes to the 40-20 rule. We had Ball Boy Gate, even though the refs got it absolutely right. And I look back at it last night, boys, and, of course, the tap wasn't even taken correctly either. It was tap with the round about the knee area rather than the actual foot. But then again, let's get this right. Let's make sure we change the rule now so we know exactly what's going on in the final few rounds of the competition and, of course, into the final. It's as simple as that. Let's get that right and be nice and clear on it.
My own moment is I would love to see South Sydney win the premiership. I think it'd be great for the game and their long-suffering fans. The thing that's putting it at jeopardy is at the moment, and whether it's coincidental or whether it's accidental, I don't actually know. But some of their players are sailing very close to the wind as far as some of their wrestling techniques are concerned. Benny Tias been robbed out of the game for several weeks, right at the most important part of the year, for what was a chicken wing tackle on Sam Thaiday. Benny Tias says sometimes you get caught in that position. I can understand that. But the bottom line is, this is something that could derail their season. They're the premiership favourites. They've just got to be very, very, very careful.
Yeah, my R moment is rugby league can be a cruel game sometimes. And one of the bright sparks in the Raiders loss to the Dragons on the weekend, Jordan Rapana, playing only his second game in 6 years after a sabbatical doing a two-year Mormon mission, found out on the weekend he played 25 minutes with a fractured skull.
Wow.
Oh. So he's obviously out for the rest of the year, but we pass on our best to him because he did look good when he played against the Dragons. What a good palm he's got. But no, he's out, and he played for 25 minutes with a fractured skull, so unlucky, Jordan.
And there you go, the R moments, thanks to Allianz. Big show this morning, boys, 7:30. We're going to bust a few myths. MG, I know you love a myth, and you've got plenty of them. Adam from Mythbusters.
He sure does.
I love a mimic, too.
The severe weather warning's been cancelled, but still, it's a tough one to get out of bed this morning.
Oh,
rotten outside.
And also, yesterday was a shocking day as well. So many people were having trouble getting home and getting to work this morning.
Great day for a sickie, isn't it? Just quiet, just putting the idea out there.
Thank you. Put it in. Okay, yep. It's in there.
You're already at work there.
Yeah, I know, but so. Maybe next week.
It's just here later. I mean, I'll take a rain check on that rain.
So many heroes in the SES, boys, and we're going to talk to one of them now. Becky Gollings is going to give us an update on all this drama. G'day, Becky. How are you?
Oh, pretty busy, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine, Becky.
How many call-outs, Becky, have you had?
Look, since the weather started on Sunday, we're up to about 925 calls for help. So a pretty busy time for our volunteers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what sort of stuff are we talking about, Becky? I mean, what's the most common call you're getting?
The majority of jobs we're getting called out to are leaking and damaged roofs and also lots of trees down yesterday with those strong winds coming through. We saw peak gusts of up to 127 kilometres an hour at the Royal National Park on Monday, and overnight about 83 kilometres an hour, so some pretty blustery conditions.
Yeah, I'd urge people as well with them gutters. A lot of times tennis balls are caught in the gutters, which causes a bit of an overfill of water into the house. So maybe if you're listening, just make sure your gutters are clear to help the SES out. But Becky, how many of you guys per job go out and help the families?
Yeah, look, to a storm team usually consists of about 5 volunteers, and we've had over 500 volunteers in the field in the past 48 hours just attending to all of those jobs that I mentioned.
Quite incredible, the fact that these people have got jobs, but they put tools down there and go out to help everyone. And it's in some pretty dangerous
bloody
situations as well, Becky. So, you know, we tip our lid to you, and thank you so much for everything you've done.
Becky, we're a music station here. I just want to ask you, Becky, could you share, have you got a Rod Stewart story for us?
A Rod Stewart story? I can't mention, I couldn't think of anything like that.
No. And let's not give Becky Rod Stewart's story. She sounds a lovely lady who's doing a hell of a job for the community. Yeah. So let's not take her there.
Becky Gollings from the SES. Thank you so much, Becky.
What number do we ring? If we need you, what number do we ring?
132-500.
Good on you, honey. Thank you.
No,
thank you.
Harvey Norman has everything for Dad, from the best in electric shavers, trimmers and clippers. Father's Day's coming up, so get into Harvey Norman for all the best deals. Cloudy with some scattered showers around today,
you know,
and tops of about 16.
The best day of the year, Father's Day.
It's right up there.
Right up there. So much better than Mother's Day.
Mother's Day kills it.
Mother's Day's just overrated.
Geez, I tell you what, some days, mate, you come in here and you just deserve to be jawed.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, the way you carry on.
What is jawed, mate?
Just the big fellow over here just giving you a clip.
Oh, yeah, he could try.
Oh, mate. Dude, honestly.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah.
There's actually a nice feel-good story about the...
Well, last night, MG, I had to go in to do my show on my Monday night show on Fox. But before as I got in there, I remembered I was going to miss this TV show that was on last night. So I rang my son Jack and I said, "Make sure you IQ this TV show, Channel 9." And he did. And when we got home last night, we sat there and watched it. It was uplifting. It was brilliant.
Ricky spends all day in bed. His wife Cheryl helps him go to the toilet and cleans up the mess after him.
It's just like taking care of an overgrown baby.
At his heaviest, Ricky Naputi weighed over 400 kilos. If Ricky is unable to fly, can he be shipped by sea?
Yeah, that is possible. We ship just about everything. I don't think it's ever been done before. You could actually give him a door-to-door service if you modified a container.
No matter how much I try, I always tend to give in to my husband. And it's really hard, because my husband wears the pants in this relationship, you know?
Well, technically, that wasn't right, because there weren't pants big enough in the world to actually fit him.
So he had to go to hospital in a shipping container.
Yeah, he had to go to the hospital in a shipping container, and he never wore pants. What he actually had to hide his genitals, he had rolls of fat.
Please give us a call immediately on 133353 and tell us whether or not that's funny. First, we'll discuss in here if that is funny.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
Yeah, Ricky, honestly.
I was rolling around.
I was rolling around on my floorboards.
Honestly. Ricky, the bloke's got massive issues.
Yeah, food.
Massive.
He can't stop eating.
And we should really show him a little bit more respect.
Maybe,
than
you know what we should do? Maybe get him to run the New York Marathon and do a TV show on him.
Ricky, I'm going to call you Ricky.
That's not funny,
Matthew. You know your name from now on. It's Gus Naputi.
Did you hear the sound they said him going to the toilet and him...
Poor bugger.
Exactly, poor bugger.
His wife I'm talking about.
His wife's half the drama, the fact that she gives in to him all the time and, you know, there are people...
What do you mean gives in?
When you're a partner of someone who's so big, you're actually a feeder. You're actually feeding them. And you're actually keeping them... You're actually keeping them the way they are so you can just have them to yourself. So she's half the drama.
What? You're incriminating Vix right now.
Yes. We should not be laughing at that.
You're saying it's not funny, Gussie.
It's a massive social issue. We should not be laughing.
When someone gets over 400 kilos, they deserve some ridicule.
Oh, that's just...
That's a bit too big, mate. Anyone's like it.
That's incredibly naive and nasty of both of you.
Apparently he was going to go into stand-up, but they're actually not going to lie down.
His last name wasn't right.
Oh, Weasel in the Gong is on the line. Weasel, is it funny?
Bloody hilarious, mate. Bloody hilarious.
Nice, Weasel. You know what? Always the voice of common sense.
In fact, Paige, this morning, we haven't bipped the horns for a while. Let's bip the horns for Ricky Naputi.
Okay. 1, 2, 3.
Yep. There we go.
Thank you,
Sydney.
Right through the rain.
Wow. Hear that through the rain.
Adrian, Weatherall Park. G'day, Adrian.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Hey,
what do you think, mate?
Hong Kong, that's funny as.
Yeah, nice one, Adrian. What do you got, Josh? We've got Josh in Greenacre. G'day, Joshua.
Oh, funny as. I cacked myself. And you know what? Gus doesn't have respect for this guy. He's got no respect for himself. So, yeah, very funny. Yeah.
Mate, great point, Josh.
You're hilarious, Josh.
Mick in Riverston. G'day, Mickey.
Hey, lads, how are we?
Hello,
yeah,
Nicholas.
Mick, what do you think, mate?
Mate, I haven't laughed that long in the news.
Yeah, I know.
Well, you've got a pretty boring life, Mick.
Beep, beep.
Thanks, Mick. You just put the button on the brake. Let's get it out on a high.
100%. Thanks for playing. Is it
funny? Now, guys, who's our favourite politician? Can I ask you?
Barnaby Joyce.
Tony Abbott.
Pagey?
Oh, probably the big bloke.
Oh, or Clivey.
Palmer. Oh, Palms.
Thank you very much. Well, I tell you what, he was on Q&A last night and he was at it again. It's time for a bit of Clive Palmer.
And all the girlies say I'm pretty fly for a white guy.
Well, last night in Q&A, he got on there. And one thing he can do, Clive Palmer, you might disagree with him, but he's in politics to rattle a few cages. Yeah. And he certainly did that.
Let's put it this way, because obviously there are serious implications. If you are caught doing something wrong...
It's not trial by media, Tony, even though you'd like to help Rupert.
This is trial by... I'm asking questions.
Yeah,
it's not a trial.
I'm telling you, I'll just tell you again, it's not true, it's false, and we'll be suing this week. It'll be in the Supreme Court. You can report it on the ABC, and all this will be thrown out. But it won't stop the fact that the Chinese government wants to bring workers here to destroy our wage system. Mm. It won't stop the fact that they want to take over our ports and get our resources for free. So far, they've shipped $200 million worth of iron ore out of this country without paying for it.
Okay.
And I don't mind standing up against the Chinese bastards and stopping from doing it. And we've had 3 judgments in the Federal Court and the Supreme Court of Western Australia and an arbitration against these Chinese mongrels. I'm saying that's because they're communists, because they shoot their own people, they haven't got a justice system, and they want to take over this country. And we're not going to let them do it.
Don't hold back, Carl.
Other than that, he likes them.
Well,
he's a massive fan.
I mean, I'm really disappointed. I thought he went into politics to try to, you know, just maybe speak his mind, but that was very disappointing.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Is he actually right? Like, that's what, you know what, when people go like that, you go, that's so refreshing to hear someone just give their opinion, whether it's right or wrong. But if it's right, then it's even better. I mean, is that happening?
He knows.
Is $200 million worth of iron ore gone out of just quickly, WA without being paid for.
What he knows, Clive Palmer knows who his audience is. He plays to it very, very well. And we saw it before with Pauline Hanson. You know, they know how to appeal to what they're after by saying, you know, and if you talk to people out in the street, the people on the land, they'll say in that laconic voice, well, ain't the Chinese going to take over this country? Well, Clive's just, he's saying it right there. And he's coming out saying that there are elements of what he's saying is true. There's no doubt that when there's a lot of farms that are going for sale out and in our western New South Wales and things like that, the Chinese are snapping it up, and there is a feeling that we're going to become a food bowl for China and other regions of other countries in Asia. But there's other bits that are just, it's just Clive being Clive. It's Clive rattling the cage.
Would we prefer that, though, than a lot of people just walking around just giving cliche after cliche?
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like, it's refreshing to hear someone at least say what they think is right.
I think what the thing about with Clive is that you hear what he says, you talk about to your mates like that in the pub. You know, you use the word bastard in a pub or mongrel in a pub. He uses it in an open forum. And he's not scared about using that in an open forum, which is refreshing.
I think one of the damaging things with Clive is he can take you away from the real issues. That's the thing. Like, he's a sideshow, and he's a distraction.
That's a good
point. I don't know whether that helps Australian politics.
He's had his weird ones in the past, particularly with the Chinese as well. Wendy Deng, Rupert Murdoch's ex-remember, he came out and said Wendy Deng was a Chinese spy.
Yeah.
That was on the Today Show. That was a weird one.
Yeah, he's had a couple.
Did we find out if she was a spy or not?
That's what I want to know. Like, someone should just come up and find out if these things are true or not, and then say to him, mate, you're actually wrong. I wouldn't mind seeing that debate with people going through what he said.
Well, yeah,
I could imagine that, how that would go if you sat down in the debate. You know, someone said, I think you're actually wrong, Clive. I don't think you're using it. Yeah. Mate, I'll tell you, how would you do it, Pagey?
Oh, she's a spy.
Yes, an Indonesian tourist boat, it basically started to sink. They all jumped out. Some people swam 5Ks to an island. Others were in lifeboats, but they have all been found safe and alive. There's a couple of people they thought might have passed away, but they believe they're also okay now.
There's some Aussies on board as well.
A few Aussies on board, exactly right, Pagey. And reports are coming through now, the Indian from Indonesia, saying that they had to survive by drinking their own urine because there was no water on this particular island. So it got us thinking.
Does that make you sick?
We don't know.
We don't know. Let's go to Dr. Gordian Fulda. He's from St. Vincent's Hospital. He's a great friend of the show. Doctor, is drinking your own urine safe? And in fact, you know, the only way if you don't have water?
First of all, yes, urine is sterile. Your own urine is safe. But on the other hand, they were only on the island for about 8 hours, I think, or something like that. Urine, your kidneys concentrate your urine if there isn't enough water. By that I'm saying that you won't get any extra water if you're really in trouble by drinking your urine, because you're not really getting any water. You're just getting concentrated urine.
Okay. So
In Indian culture, it's for hundreds, maybe even thousands of years, it's been used even as a therapy for certain things and whatever. So it's been around a long time. It won't kill you, but I don't know how much good it does you.
I was going to ask, Doctor, because there's a very famous boxer, a Mexican guy called Juan Manuel Marquez, one of the best in the world. Now, he is famous because what he does in the lead up to all these big fights, he drinks his own urine because he says he maintains all the vitamins. So you're telling me you believe that's a complete myth?
No, I'm just saying we don't really know. I mean, there haven't been any trials or medical things, and there would be possibly some sort of circumstances, but they'd be pretty way out where it is of benefit, right? And if you're on a desert island and you've got no water or drinking your own urine, it may give you a bit of a extra time to live, but for 8 hours, it's not going to make any difference. I mean, let's face it, it's unnecessary for that length of time.
I can imagine, too, that if you drink somebody else's urine, it'd be worse for you as well.
You think so?
Well, as I said, technically urine should be sterile, so from a medical point of view, somebody else's sterile urine is just somebody else's sterile urine.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate that. Dr. Gordian Fulda from St. Vincent's Hospital.
Appreciate
your time.
There's a great job down there.
I've got
a cup here.
You've got a cup there.
Have a little sip.
Oh, Matty, that's a big sip.
Plenty of vitamins.
I tell you what, Gus, you've been eating too much asparagus,
oh,
brother.
Please.
Can I point out, if they were only on the island for 8 hours, as the doctor said, do you reckon, was someone a bit too keen to die?
Oh, yes. Okay.
Who dramatic.
Was first to go, oh, guys, it's been half an hour. Should we,
That's a very good point.
Is it 8 days, 8 weeks, eight months? And I go, oh, 8 hours. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Just
looking for any excuse.
Teams, sports all in.
Yeah, well done to the New South Wales Rugby League in tying up Laurie Daly as the New South Wales coach until the end of 2017. Laurie was contracted until next year, but they've topped him up for another 2 years, and I say well done, because it, if you know who the coach is, and obviously Laurie broke the 8-year drought for the New South Welshmen. He's as a player, he was mercurial. As a teammate, I found him unbelievable. Now as a coach, he's emulating what he was doing on the field. So I say bravo to New South Wales.
What if we lose next series, and what if we lose the series after that?
What if? That's a what if, you know. What if the Roosters don't win the comp?
What if they get kicked out of the comp?
Yeah. Wait. That's right,
well, Patty. Like, juniors. Like, that's
like, there's a lot of ifs, mate. What ifs? What if you go and maybe take Wyong's junior league off them?
We did. We bought them. Thank you.
Done.
Thanks, Wyong.
A story that we didn't cover yesterday, which was a really big one on Sunday, in the Sunday paper, Sunday Telegraph. Great story by David Riccio on Darius Boyd. Do an interview with Darius. Darius has come out of rehab and is determined to face a lot of his demons. And boy, oh boy, this boy's got a lot. Mainly abandonment issues from his father and his mother. He's determined to go out there and find who his father is. It's a really good story. It's really encouraging. It's good to see Darius Boyd on the front page of the paper with a smile on his face. It's something we have never seen. David Riccio, it was a great insight. David Riccio turned up for the interview with absolutely, well, expecting minimal from Darius Boyd. And to give an idea how Darius Boyd is determined to turn his life around, David Riccio asked him the first question, well, Darius, how are you going? And Darius Boyd spoke for 9 minutes straight.
Well, there you go.
So this is a boy that wants to get a lot off his chest and is trying to find his way. And I say, well done, Darius.
Oh, yeah, bloody hell.
Boys, I think only three teams can win the comp, South, Manly and the Roosters. I think you can rule out pretty much absolutely everyone else. What are your thoughts on that, MG? In particular, sitting in third position. Now your number one player, by the looks of it, is going to be out injured. And you got no State of Origin players. You haven't got that sort of finals experience. Can you argue with that? Do you believe that the Panthers can be in that mix?
Of course you're trying to stoke the hornet's nest. I'm a Panther man.
There's plenty of people that are Panther men that don't think they can win the comp.
I'm daring to dream. I had no expectations of even being anywhere near the top of the competition this time, you know, 6-7 months ago. But now that we are, I think everyone who goes for the Panthers is daring to dream. Mm. Every time someone is lost to injury, and there's been 10 first graders so far, somebody comes in, and Matt Robinson last night done it again. And the bloke from Balmain who we bought mid-season, Murdoch Masilla, he had his first. Like, we've got some.
Do you know, MG, I remember 2003 when you won the competition. That year, most people thought you'd get the wooden spoon. I think you did the year before.
Year before, yeah.
And, you had an outstanding year, but everyone right across the board believed that you were punching above your average all the way through the year. Mm. You got to the grand final against a Rooster side that were flying.
Yep.
And absolutely had belted the Bulldogs in the semi-final. And I remember thinking to myself, mate, Panthers done a great job, but they can't beat the Roosters. And, well, they went out there and they done it. So, mate, they got form there. So
What do you think, though, mate?
Jamie Sowell is in career best form.
He is. Absolutely. He's playing fantastically. But can he lead the Panthers in the premiership?
I'd be shocked if one of those three you said didn't win. South Sydney, Manly, or the Roosters.
Thank you.
Yeah, we've been watching from afar for the last week. Ferguson in Missouri, the unbelievable protests going on because a young teenager, Michael Brown, was shot. Missouri's governor ordered the National Guard to Ferguson after police used tear gas to clear protesters off the streets following a week of demonstrations against the fatal police shooting of a black Missouri teenager, Michael Brown. The autopsy was conducted yesterday, boys, and these were the results.
Late Sunday night, the New York Times revealed details of a preliminary autopsy performed on Michael Brown. It found that he had been shot at least 6 times, including twice in the head. The final shot hit the top of his head, suggesting he was bent forward. The report also found that Brown did not appear to have been shot from very close range because no gunpowder was found on his body.
Wow, that opens up a can of whoop ass, doesn't it? I mean, this is getting unbelievably complex, this case. For more on it, we welcome Kevin Colleen from KMOX in St. Louis. Good morning, Kevin. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. It's late afternoon here, and a good morning to you.
So what is the latest as we speak now? What is I believe President Obama has been quizzed on exactly what he's doing down in Ferguson as well.
Yeah, the president spoke today, and he called on everyone to trust the system. He says Attorney General Eric Holder is working on this, has his own autopsy to try to find exactly what happened, whether the officer shot Michael Brown in cold blood in an unjustified way, or whether the autopsy will show that it was a justified shooting. So far this week, as you know, this started a week ago Saturday, when the shooting took place. We have had almost nightly protests, some of them with looting, burning gas stations, shattered glass, tear gas canisters twirling in the streets, crowds running, Molotov cocktails last night, just last night, thrown at the police, rubber bullets shot at protesters. Miraculously, no one has been killed in the clash between police and protesters, but there have been many, many arrests. And with the National Guard moving in tonight, they're hoping that will add another layer of protection to try to get people to just wait for the system to do its job.
Hey, Kevin, we're unfamiliar with Ferguson, Missouri, and but is it renowned for racial tensions?
It was not until this popped up to, at least to this reporter. I've known it for years as a suburb about 20 minutes away from our Gateway Arch downtown, a middle-class suburb, but it is about two-thirds African-American, and we've heard that in the past 10 years that quite a number of poor blacks have moved in, and they stay in an area that has a lot of apartments, and they feel frustrated that they are often singled out by police, questioned about crimes, pulled over while driving to say, where are you going? And so the protests and the violence that we've seen is, some say, an eruption of what's been simmering beneath the surface, the frustration that they feel the mostly white police department in Ferguson has had too much of a suspicious, heavy hand on blacks.
Mm. Well, as you said, Kevin, it's afternoon there, so I suppose we'll watch and wait for what happens tonight with the curfew there, and I just hope for some peace there for the people of Ferguson in Missouri. Kevin Colleen from KMOX in St. Louis, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Kev.
Thank you. Have a good day, all.
We have loved Mythbusters, boys. Now they've got the live show, Behind the Myths Tour, live Saturday the 23rd of August at 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. So that's this Saturday, 2 p.m. in the Arvo and 7:30 at night at Qantas Credit Union Arena, of course, the old Sydney Entertainment Centre. Head to MythbustersTour.com for more information. Now, if you know the show at all, there's a couple of blokes on there, Jamie and also Adam. We're about to speak to Adam Savage.
Adam's the main man.
He is the main man. He's here in Australia now. Adam, welcome to the Grill Team.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Can you believe how successful it's been, the fact that you blokes seem to be having so much fun and chuck a camera up there and everyone seems to love watching what you do?
No. That's totally astonishing. you know, it's the entertainment industry. Everything could go south any second. So the idea that we've been around for 12 years is completely astonishing.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, you're running out of myths, yeah, brother?
Are you kidding? Are people ever going to stop believing ridiculous things?
Have you got a... I've heard a myth about Rod Stewart. Have you heard that one?
That is not the kind of show we do.
Richard Gere?
It is a family show.
Yes, okay.
That's for Mythbusters After Dark. Okay. That's.
I was just hoping that you'd come in. I had the pump ready, you know. So Adam, nonetheless.
Hey, Adam, you seem very well schooled, mate. You if Wikipedia is true, your middle name is Whitney, and you're the son of a filmmaker / painter.
That is absolutely correct.
And a psychotherapist.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm properly analyzed. That's what you should know.
Mate, now, what can we expect on the live show?
Well, you know, we wondered how to transfer the experimental nature of Mythbusters to a stage where we can't really have the audience sitting around wondering what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And what we ended up deciding was that the audience should be our crash test dummy. So we bring up about a dozen people on stage throughout the course of the show. We mess with them. We pit them against each other. It's a lot of fun, and it makes the show a little bit different every single night.
And when you pick those people, mate, they're completely random. So anyone listening to us now and they get the tickets from Mythbusters Tour.com, they could actually be a part of the show.
That is absolutely correct. We had a guy up the other night. I asked him what he did for a living. He said, excavating. I said, like what? And he said, dirt. And I said, oh. And he said, I can dig 3 or 4 graves a day.
Wow.
Now, mate, we've got probably the big fella on our show. He's 6'7", 120 kilos, and he is the absolute lover of your show. He's got some myths here, and he wants you to bust them or not. Do you mind if he runs through a few for you?
Not at all.
Okay.
Okay, mate. Adam, the first one is that white chocolate isn't really chocolate.
I believe that is absolutely true. It is not chocolate, although it's my favorite chocolate, and it's my rapper name.
Oh, yeah. pasta is not from Italy. Originates from Libya.
Libya? Yeah. I had heard that Marco Polo brought it from China. I have no idea about that.
It's all false, mate.
Bloody Gaddafi makes everything.
Yeah, fortune cookies were invented in Japan, not China.
That, I believe, is true.
You're in Australia, which is a high population of sharks, and we all believe one thing about sharks, that not only are they scary, but they don't get cancer, but I've found out that they actually do get cancer.
I would believe that's totally true.
Oh, so that's...
But you're mistaking me with someone with actual expertise. See, no, I just fart around in the shop and try and blow stuff up.
This is one that I think you guys might have even done. I'm not quite sure, but... The common thought process is that goldfish have a 3-second memory.
Yeah.
Swim around the bowl and forget they've done it.
Well, I found out that it's not true.
Who told you that, the goldfish?
I've actually done a test with my goldfish at home, little Paddy.
Wow.
They react to different light, music, or sensory cues as well.
Absolutely. We have absolutely tested that, and it turns out to be completely true. You can train a fish. Jamie used to train one that he owned to ring a bell when it was hungry, and we actually trained our goldfish to go through a maze. They have a memory of a lot longer than 3 seconds.
Wow. I heard a story about Led Zeppelin and a fish once.
Yeah.
That's a different fair dinkum. Look, Adam, thank you so much. Head to MythbustersTour.com for more information. This Saturday, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., so you can have a couple of different options there at Qantas Credit Union Arena, the old Sydney Entertainment Centre. Thanks so much, Adam, for your time this morning.
Adam, thanks, you guys.
Adam, mate, now, okay, Rod Stewart, right.
No. That's your show, not mine.
Yeah.
Good call, Adam. See you, mate.
Clearly, I'm wondering about your fascination.
Yeah. You should, Adam. Thank you, mate.
Gus Wallins.
Your sack bar.
30 Days of Nookie.
30 Days of Nookie.
Yeah.
Gussie, what are you doing?
Well, Durex have come up with it, boys, and 30 Days of Nookie to use their various different styles of condoms. But I just decided to use it.
You haven't
it
done
as
that,
a...
though.
Nah, please. Not since the mid-80s. But at the end of the day, I did take on the challenge, and I'm 2 from 2.
Oh,
start of Saturday.
It's not counting your hands.
I want to hear the story the last time you did. That's the story I want to hear.
Yeah, come on.
So you're 2 days in.
I'm not going to tell.
What about this? You've got three kids.
Well, this is the question I'm going to ask you, boys, okay? Because the next all week when the kids are at home after activities and so forth, they've got homework and whatever, it's hard to get one away. When the kids are in the house, okay, and they're doing their homework, and I have to go to bed early. So it's not like we can put the kids to bed at 9 o'clock and we're up at 10 o'clock starts on the sofa with a bit of a passion, and all of a sudden you're in the bedroom.
What about when you go home now of an afternoon? Like when you we get home at midday.
Fix is working. So
every day?
Yeah, nearly every day she's working.
Lunch break?
See, we have to do it absolutely every day. She's at school, you see, so I can't go to the school. That would be inappropriate. Can't use the sick bay at school.
You've got a ute.
Not that I haven't thought about it in the B250. Yeah, no, but that's going back to, you know, being young. And plus, my back wouldn't stand that. I like being on a bed. But at the end of the day,
weird looking in the ute and there you and Vicky choking each other.
Behave yourself.
So how do you, you've done it for 2 days, how have you gotten rid of the kids? Did you distract them? Or?
Yeah, how do you, like,
I haven't had to deal with that yet.
Right.
I haven't had to deal with that yet, so I need to get some advice on 1-333-5, shop be quiet, 1-333-5-3. How have you got away with having a little bit of special cuddles,
okay,
when you've got kids in the house? What some sort of covert operation have you put together that you can help me out, give me a little bit of advice?
Do I recall you doing Christmas presents or something, isn't it, MG?
No, my mum and dad would say they'd go in the room to talk about Christmas presents, but then I'd hear the springs.
Oh, that's...
Okay, what's that?
I've met your mum and dad now. The whole thought of that is just not right. Yeah, and plenty of people on Twitter just saying, turn your headlights on as well, you know, especially in these dark conditions and so forth. So turn your headlights on. Of course, remember to turn them off if it doesn't remind you when you stop. But yep. Please do that and try to be as safe as you can on the roads. But
one of the best things you can do is honk your horn as well.
What, just continually? Or?
No, just, you know, when if you're listening to Triple M right now, do it.
Or you just want to honk the horn just for Triple M listeners?
Oh, I love it.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a lot of safety issues. Was that a honk then?
Yeah, we heard that's from George Street.
I was after some advice, MG, because, you know, I'm doing this 30-day challenge, having
great special
cuddles with my wife every day 30 days. Thank you. I'm 2 from 2 at the moment, very pleased with myself.
And she's
28 days to go.
She's happy. I'm always turning her down. Honestly, I'm that tired most of the time, so she's thrilled. But the problem is...
It's early days. She's 2 days in.
Oh, yeah, it's early days, all right. But I've been asking for some advice. How do we get rid of the kids? Because there are some times, especially with my working hours, that, you know, the kids are around and we need to have a little special cuddle. So Izzy from Bankstown, plus many others, have rung up to give me some advice. So, Izzy, how do I get a little bit of special time with the missus when the kids are around?
How you going, boys? All right?
How you doing?
Mate, first of all, you got to get some pre-game entertainment, you know what I mean? So all the preparations, got, you know, so you set up the TV, you make sure they're all fed, they've gone to the toilet, you put on a bit of Dora the Explorer, and then you go in and do some exploring yourself.
That might be hard watching Dora Explorer for a 15-year-old, but...
Depends on the age of a kid, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, I get your point.
You've got half an hour. That's how long the program goes for.
Well, no, he doesn't need that. He needs a media watch episode. Goes for about 4 minutes.
Yeah. Let's go to Michelle now in Maroubra. Okay, Michelle.
Good morning. How are we, boys?
Hey, Shelley.
What advice can you give me, Shelley?
Well, my kids are all grown up now, but years ago what we did, we sat around the table and we were doing our bills.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids could see how stressed out we were, and we went, well, this is no good. We've got to do this behind doors. So what we do, we showed them how bad it was to pay the bills.
Yeah.
So when any time that we decided we want a little cuddle, we'd say, oh, God, we've got to go and have to do the bills. Well, the kids knew not to interrupt us when we were doing the bills. Oh, that's for sure.
That's clever.
That's very clever, good. Michelle. That is covert. That's the best I've heard.
Michelle, thank you for the call. We have another call.
Oh, no.
Not my mum.
Yes. Oh. From Kalara, the lovely lady of the North Shore, Gus's mum, Janelle.
Good morning, beautiful woman. How are you, Nelly?
Hello, Mr. Guy. How are you, you sex panther? You know, I usually love hearing about people having sexual intercourse, but I heard the most fat, disgusting voice on the radio talking about 30 days of nookie. Wasn't that Carl Sandland, was it?
No, mum. It was me. It was your son, Angus.
Oh, dear. There it is. Yet another black mark in the Wallen family book of shame. Oh, hello, White Ant. Did I hear you talking about how to get rid of the kids so you could make love?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, well, that's a bit rich coming from you, isn't it, Angus? Boys, when Angus was little, I'd tell him I was about to have sex, and he'd say, oh, please, Mummy, can I watch again?
Oh, Mum, that's not true. I never watched you and Dad have sex.
Oh, it wasn't me and your father. You're well aware of that, Angus. It was usually some bikey or Clive Palmer.
Heard in the last couple of days that Adam Boland, the former Whiz Kid and producer of Sunrise, is going to release a tell-all book that's apparently going to be juicy and not leave anything out. So there's a few nervous TV executives around.
Yeah.
But it's not just TV that has all types of interesting things going behind the scenes. Radio does as well. And I'm not sure if you're aware, our hillbilly executive producer also knows how to read and write.
Oh, okay.
What? He's had someone to help him.
Yes, I think it was, maybe he dictated or something like that. But he's done a tell-all book on the Grill Team.
Oh, dear.
Let's have a listen to one of the first excerpts from the tell-all book from the hillbilly producer on the Triple M Grill Team. Dear.
The Grill Team's hillbilly producer's tell-all book.
It was NRL Grand Final day in 2011. I'd been working on the show for just a few months. I turned up really looking forward to the day and my first bonding session with the Grill Team. It's fair to say the boys, well, Matty Johns had a few too many. The first sign that things weren't well was when Matty bailed up Peter Fitzsimons and spent 20 minutes explaining to him that rugby union was a Nazi game. Peter seemed to handle this well and enjoyed the non-politically correct conversation. I can't name the next media identity Matty had a crack at, but he was fairly shocked. He gave Matty a tiny bit of advice that wasn't appreciated, and Matty put him in his place. I don't think the poor fella has had a job since. MG, as usual, had snuck one of his mates in through the back door. Spook spent the entire day tidying tables. We were then escorted out of the corporate enclosure after Gus stole a football and an umbrella. Matty also spilled beer on a man. I couldn't understand why he was so upset that his suit had been dirtied. Then I glanced up at the big screen and saw him presenting the trophy to the winning captain. Correct, he was a very important CEO. It was time to leave and head home. On the way out, a young boy asked for a photo. The grill team happily obliged. However, the child was a little surprised that he was being used by the boys to be held upright. Finally, I popped the boys in a taxi to make sure they got home safely. Well, how could this day get any worse, I thought. Well, it could. Monday, I would get two cab bills from Matty. He had got in the wrong taxi, and I also had to foot the bill for the one he left waiting at ANZ Stadium for 4 hours.
Fair?
Yeah,
fair.
Very fair.
Jeez, good times.
Yeah,
I can't remember that day at all.
We've got to do that more, seriously.
We've been together nearly 4 years now together, and that was one of our better days.
That was a cracking day.
Was it Manly and the Warriors?
Who cares?
Check the tweets. And time to check some of your tweets coming into us. At Grill Team, one here from Mariah Merriyee. Good morning, Mariah. She sent us this study on pocket money. They've done all the research how much pocket money kids are actually getting, because I want to know what you boys do. But 7 to 10-year-olds on average get about $8.50 a week. That's $8.50.
Yeah.
11 to 14-year-olds get, on average, about $15 a week.
Okay, we're a touch more than that in our family. We're basically just $20 across the board for all three kids. But to be honest with you, they don't ask for it that much. But when they do want something and they need it, they tend to sort of get it, I suppose. And that's what most parents try to do if you possibly can. How much your kids get, MJ?
No, it's not pocket money as well. It's kind of a want and need type thing. If they need books for school or they need something.
Of course, that's a given.
Yeah, but they...
What if they want to go down the shops and just get some, you know, some bubble gum and, you know, can of Coke or something like that?
Yeah, $20.
Yeah.
Bring home some change, which they never do.
Yeah. When do you ever get the change back from your kids?
It's always expensive bubble gum.
That seems about right, I suppose.
Fair enough. Let us know at Grill Team what you're up to with that. That's our second AU has tweeted this. One of the worst thing you could possibly hear when you sit down on a plane. I suppose
the engine stops, maybe.
Yeah, or the flight starts with MH. This one, the worst possible flight. They sat down, they're settling into their seats. The pilot said, "Sorry, we're just a bit slow getting started. Bear with us. We have 42 babies on board."
No.
Forty-two babies? What the?
That's a lot of babies. That's a lot of crying, and that's pretty much 42 over the whole trip. One of them will be awake.
How are you complaining when you are never subjected to anything like that?
That's
up the pointy end of the plane.
That's not, mate. There's babies up the pointy end of the plane as well. They're just rich babies, but they still cry and they still whinge. They still carry on like a pork chop.
Do rich babies cry?
No, they don't cry. They got gold milk.
Well, Twitter is all over the place. It's a flutter with Ian Botham.
Yes.
Beefy Botham. He says his Twitter account got hacked when someone from his Twitter account posted what appeared to be a photo of his penis.
Well, I know why they call him Beefy now.
Yes, it's on our Triple M website as well. It's a photograph taken from sort of his knee area as he's lying down on his bed up to his face. It's definitely Botham.
How do you know it's definitely Botham?
Well, because you can just, I've been looking at it for the last half an hour just to make sure that I get it right.
Tell our listeners what you told us off air, that you've seen it.
I have seen it.
How did you?
Beefy and I did a whole heap of stuff for Jaguar Cars over the summer when the Ashes were here, because Jag sponsor every English cricket player, right? So we went to the bathroom a few times because there was lots of drinks going on. And, of course, as you do when you're drinking, you go to the bathroom, you find yourself next to the person
you're drinking with. But you never look left or right.
Are you serious?
No, I'm serious.
You get a famous person in and around those urinals, you always have a glance.
Wow.
It's a private glancer.
Who else have you seen?
Name it.
Yeah, you name the person.
You should do a book.
I don't think it'll be that popular.
Like a coffee table book.
It's just, you know, you're just intrigued, aren't you?
No, like, I'm not.
Viv Richards in the West Indies was one I just had. I mean, I would have...
It'd be hard to miss, wouldn't it?
Oh, it was hard to miss, yes.
Well, anyway, plenty of people tweeting us their beefy Botham jokes. Keep them coming at Grill Team. Beefy wanted to show everyone how the clip between two fine legs is done. His middle stump was exposed and his stock ball now appears to be an in-swinger to the right-hander.
Yeah, very clever.
Daddy, I'm your father.
Grill Team's father and son cam. For Coleman, creating great memories outdoors.
8:34 on the Grill Team with Gus, MG and Maddie Johnson. Yeah, one of the biggest amounts of fun, if we can get a sentence out, we've had on the show was the last father and son cam. We did it at Wiseman's Ferry with some great listeners and their fathers or sons. It was terrific.
It was terrific. We're doing exactly the same thing, only a few sleeps away from doing exactly that again. All thanks to Coleman. We appreciate their help very, very much. And there's a little bit of rain around at the moment, and we are forecast to have a little bit of rain this weekend, so...
All you got to do is register triplem.com.au if you want to come along. And John has done it. Morning, John.
Hey, Johnny.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Mate, we're fantastic today. We believe that you're bringing your 13-year-old son with you, but you've got a funny story about your father, God rest his soul.
Yeah, mate, yeah. Mum organised him a surprise birthday party. Organised the next-door neighbour to take him down to the pub for a few beers to set up.
Yep.
Dad didn't get home until about 3:30 in the morning.
Oh, dear.
Good.
And that's why you love him
that's
so much.
That's why you love him, brother.
Oh, mate, model my life on him, yeah.
Hey, Johnny, we can't wait to see you on Friday, mate. What's your young bloke's name?
Tyson.
Yeah, we can't wait to see Tyson
John
either, mate.
Tyson.
Our boys are 13, 14 as well, so they'll get on like a house on fire.
They will.
Mate, Bonds, I look forward to it, boys.
Good on you, Johnny.
See you on Friday, John. Champion.
As you mentioned, the weather a little dodgy this week. Gussie, Rainmageddon.
Doesn't matter, though, because the common tent, mate, it's a one-man tent thing. You basically just unfold it, bang, it does itself.
Yeah, but you're bringing Joel, so you have an unfair advantage.
I'm not bringing my butler this time.
You're not?
Yeah, it's just me and Jack this time.
Oh, slumming
it. Thank God Jack's coming.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, we're lucky. He'll be able to fix it all the tent.
That's true. Well, last time we turned up, Coleman had all the tents already sort of set up and laid out. It was gold.
Hopefully that happens again.
Hint, hint, Coleman people.
Bill sent us an email as well, but he was telling us about this. He's concerned about the weather. He wants to come along, but he's worried about it. Tells us the story. Last time he went camping, him and his son started setting up the camp, and the worst hailstorm in a decade hit. They had to do it in the hail. Oh. Ended up with bruises all over them from the hail because they couldn't stop setting up the tent. And then had to bucket water of the tent.
I went camping once and it started to rain, but it was a whole heap of blokes who knew what they were doing. So they did it all for us. I took the wives and the kids to the movies.
Ugh.
I drove back to, where's that, the big shopping centre up in the Central Coast there?
Erina Fair.
Yep. I went to Erina Fair and got donuts and choc tops and lollies.
So while the men were out in the bush
doing
what men do, you were doing what the ladies do.
I was taking the girls and the kids to the movies.
To see The Notebook.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it wasn't though, because it was a kiddie type thing. It was like Shrek or something.
Pocahontas, I think.
Well, you do your best, don't you?
Well, I must confess, camping is quite foreign to me. I don't do it that much. I don't know. I just haven't got the skills to basically live off the land.
You don't have to live off the land camping.
Well, you've got to have some... You know, it's nous.
Idea.
Nous.
Well, that's why the Coleman thing is good for you, because basically press a button and it works for you.
When I was at Whalen Primary School, 5th and 6th grade used to always go to a place called Grosvale, which is near Colo, for camping trips. Hmm. You know, we used to look forward to it. Year 5 was great. Year 6, but we had the most torrential downpour ever.
Hmm.
And there was a house on the hill, which was basically the teachers at night would tell us about how haunted it was.
Yeah, I love those
stories.
That's
where the old caretaker died and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Guess where we slept that night?
Because it was raining so much, had to go out of the house.
All the tents were folded in.
Oh, no.
All of us were up in the sleeping bags and none of us slept that night. We were crapping ourselves.
Of course you were. Let's go to Paul now in Castle Hill, mate. You've had some drama camping in the rain.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Hey,
yeah,
Paul.
We've had a few.
Yeah, I bet. Well, tell us your story.
Mate, we were down up at Farlford, just on the river there, just camping, doing a bit of water skiing and carrying on, and we wake up in the morning. I wake up in the morning about 4 o'clock. Heap of commotion, people rattling around, and I'm floating on my airbed. It was out of the river risen that night, and I'm floating, bouncing around in my tent, rolled over, splashed, everything was wet. got the old wetsuit on and just packed up and went home.
Oh. Very good.
That's what we want.
Well, we're hoping it's a bit more of a success this Friday. Thanks to Coleman, creating great memories outdoors, the Grill Team's father and son cab. Just let us know if you want to come along, triplem.com.au.
It's a bit of an extended, you know, honeymoon for you. You're coming away with us.
Yes.
But you haven't got any sons. What are you,
it's just like a honeymoon, except it's with the people I work with and not my wife.
Yeah.
It's almost.
It's nothing like it. You can be the father to Mav and to my Jack. How about that? And then
no.
MG and I can just.
You want me guiding your
actually,
no.
Actually, no. We actually don't want you to be. No.
Just heard a Triple M Grill Team podcast. Hear them from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on Triple M. The Grill Team salutes all dads with a massager, electric toothbrush, new juicer, all the best Father's Day gifts at Harvey Norman.